The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of the Josh Carr Show. And as promised, my skin tone has gone down to its normal hue. Thank you for all those comments about how much of a tomato I look like. It's gone now, and I will not film another podcast like it again for fear of retaliation like I received this last podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the Titanic sub as well as Hunter Biden. As always, I've partnered with Ground News. A little bit more from them later. Let's get to this episode of the Josh Carr Show. So, for those of you who didn't hear, the Titanic sub is in peril. So, there's a sub at the bottom of the ocean right now. It's called the Titan sub. Titan, I assume, is a play on words for Titanic. The reason why is because this submarine is designed specifically to go to the bottom of the ocean and analyze and view the Titanic. Now, this is pretty much a submarine for kind of tourism. On a very small scale, so you can only actually fit 5 people in this submarine, and it's $250,000 a pop. According to the website, they say that this submarine, they have all kinds of people on it. So they say that there's billionaires on it, millionaires, and then people who will literally mortgage their house so they can go down and see the Titanic. I don't really buy that. I feel like, at least from the data that I mean, it's only been open for 2 years, but the data I've seen is there was one guy who mortgaged his house to go down. Everyone else is pretty much rich because it literally costs $250,000, and who has $250,000 to go see the Titanic? But the reason why people are talking about this today is because this submarine has been down there for 5 days at this point, and it's only meant to be down there for 10 hours. As I'm filming this podcast, it is Thursday. It's being aired tomorrow, Friday. As of now, they are supposed to, right now, the time in the day, they're supposed to be running out of air. So it's a very tight situation. I want to talk about what happened. So the Titan sub is basically a voyage that goes down about 3 times a year, or it started in 2021. Now this year, they were anticipating that this was going to be the only voyage due just to some changes in the weather from the last 2 years. Obviously, this is definitely going to be the only one this year and probably the last one ever, because it seems like all 5 people in the voyage, unfortunately, are going to die because there is a rescue effort and they haven't found much yet. According to CBS, they say the passengers aboard the vessel are British businessman Hamish Harding. He's a billionaire. Pakistani businessman Shahzada Dawood and his teenage son. Man, I'm really butchering these names. Solomon, French explorer Paul Henry Narjolet, because he's French, I guess. And Stockton Rush, the CEO of OceanGate. OceanGate is the company that does this submarine. CBS continues by saying, OceanGate billed the trip as an opportunity to become one of the few to see the Titanic with their own eyes. Securing a seat on the vessel costs $250,000, according to the company, which bills the trip not as mere tourism, but as a dive with a scientific purpose. Again, I'm not sure exactly how specific that purpose is or how in-depth it is. From my understanding, everyone who's gone down so far has really just wanted to see what there is to see. How it works is they have Stockton Rush, who is the CEO of OceanGate, pilot the craft. They usually have one other come who's kind of the scientific expert and is kind of giving the tour. And then 3 people who are paying the $250,000 in order to be down there. I want to give everyone the timeline for what is happening with the submarine and then give my take on it. So basically on Sunday they headed down to do their exploration and their mission. They went a little bit earlier on in the day again. It was only supposed to last 8 to 10 hours. That night, the submarine did not come up, and the U.S. Coast Guard essentially sounded the call that they needed to go look for it. Shortly after, Canada and France got involved, their Coast Guards, in looking for the submarine. But what gets really eerie about the story is that on Tuesday, so definitely supposed to be air until Tuesday, there's about 96 hours of life support on this, even though it's supposed to only last, you're only supposed to be on there for 10 days. They have about 80 or 10 hours, excuse me. They have about 86 hours in excess for emergencies like this. On Tuesday, they started hearing banging sounds. And when I say hearing, what I mean is that Canada had sonar equipment in the water and they were picking up 30 banging intervals of 30 minutes. So they're hearing banging on the side of what they think was the submarine. Unfortunately, and I'm not super familiar with the equipment they were using, they're not able to find exactly where the submarine is. They have equipment in the water to be able to tow it up, which I know is supposed to be a process of a few hours. So even if they find it, it's going to take a while to get them up. But they were having this 30-minute interval get picked up on their sonar. And so they figured, you know, that's probably the submarine and it's kind of a distress signal. I forgot to mention that about an hour and a half into the expedition, communications were cut in the submarine. And so we don't know anything past that. There's supposed to be open communication throughout the whole process, but it got cut early. And then of course, when they didn't surface at their designated time, that's when searches began. As of now, when I'm making the podcast, they have not been found. Not even the submarine has been found, unfortunately, and the odds of survival are pretty low. Just a little bit about the submarine. If you haven't seen a video, look up a video, because it's pretty freaky to think about these people being in the submarine for that long. I mean, even for 10 hours, I can't believe people are in there. This submarine is like smaller than a minivan. So like you're not standing up in this thing and walking around, like you're sitting down the whole time. And when you consider it that it's going to be a 10-hour voyage, you're like, okay, that's going to be a little uncomfortable. But they have lights, like there's a bathroom in there. It's kind of a rinky-dink bathroom. But they've got like stuff for a 10-hour, you know, voyage. It's just thinking about them being in there for 5 days now, slowly suffocating, is a really terrifying thought. Like I said, only five people can fit in there at a time. What's kind of hitting the internet by storm right now is that Stockton, the person who created this submarine, is piloting it by like a Nintendo controller. And when I say that, I like literally mean a Nintendo controller. Like I'm not being hyperbolic or like being funny. Like literally, he has a controller. And so, I don't know. I don't know anything about submarines. Maybe like that's fine. Maybe it's like a really easy way and like a little more fun. Makes him feel like he's playing Mario Kart while, you know, steering the submarine. Maybe it's actually practical. But on the surface, when they're missing for 5 days, it looks really sketch. Not to mention, you can see in past videos where he's kind of showing off the submarine. He talks about how he built it and how he really wanted to break precedent and kind of the normalities of submarine and underwater voyages. And so he like built it all himself. Like he didn't follow the conventional rules that big companies do. Like he literally went to Home Depot and like bolted this thing together in his backyard. So like it's like I honestly can't believe that like a billionaire got in this thing and went like and like trusted this guy with his life, especially when, again, this thing started in 2021. So if we're just doing the math, we had three voyages in 2021, three in 2022, and we only were able to do one in 2023. So you're telling me that you went down there with only six voyages beforehand and put your life in this guy's hands. Pretty crazy, kind of irresponsible. And it's not like the submarine looked good. Like, it's not like you kind of heard, oh yeah, it has a controller, like a GameCube controller, and it has, like, it was made out of Home Depot stuff, but it looks really good. You know, it's got a really good track record. Like, if it had 1,000 voyages, I would go down in it. But when it's got 6 and you heard that it was made from Home Depot plywood, it's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to put my, like, in my, I'm not going to come and bring my son. You know what I mean? So that's pretty crazy. It also, something to note, it's not like it just looked bad. It had a history of malfunctioning in the past. So in its maiden voyage, it actually sustained some outside damage. Probably due from the pressure being under that much. I mean, right now them being under there, I believe they're about 12,000 feet below the surface. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of how like water works, at 3,000 feet below the surface, you can't even see sun. Like, you can't see light anymore. So it's pitch black down there. 1,000 feet is as far as anyone has ever scuba dived, like outside of a manned craft, like outside of a craft. 1,000 feet is the lowest anyone's ever been. So they're 12,000 feet under there. They're freezing. They're at about, you know, about 30 degrees Fahrenheit. They're really cold, and you've got the hull being crushed the whole time by the pressure of the water. And as far as we know, the science says that it shouldn't have like been crushed. Like, there shouldn't be water in the submarine. But it's still freaky to know that that thing's just being crushed the whole time. And they're probably hearing noises down there. In addition to having the hull crushed in the maiden voyage, they also had battery problems. So it's not like this has just been like clean the whole time. They've had a history of struggling, which is pretty freaky. My only take on this, I think this is an exciting story. I'm always talking about politics, and I love politics. And I think that's important for Americans to always hear about and to be involved in that process. But I think it's also fun to talk about these stories that, like, in some way, I admire the CEO of this company because he had a dream and he kind of just like went wild with it. Like, he went radical with it. And he was able to convince some like really high profile people to go along with him. So in some ways, I actually really admire him. And like, I really don't mean this in a bad way, but if he like dies with the submarine, I think that's kind of awesome. Like, that's a good way to go. And like, I think him, he probably wouldn't be mad about it. Like, I think he accepted those risks. My only concern is that the people who went down with him did not fully understand the risks, and really they couldn't have. Like, since he built the submarine, he's really the only person that fully understood the risks. And so that's why I don't really feel like, I don't really feel sad that he's going to die down there, which I know sounds really bad, but like, he's going down with this ship. This was his dream. I think it's actually kind of almost like heroic in a way. Not that he's done anything like heroic for the world, but just for himself. But then on the other hand, I feel really sad for the 4 other individuals who I'm guessing didn't have a full scope of what was going on. A lot of people have talked about him getting sued. I just don't see that happen. I mean, first off, like, you can sue that company for all it's worth and take the money. I think that's fair. I really hope they don't go after his family. I think that's really sad and honestly despicable when people go after other people's families in those situations. You can try to sue him. I'd just be really surprised if this guy like didn't have this legally airtight when he took people down. Like, people knew that this was going to be super dangerous. If you're going 12,000 feet under the water in a really nice submarine, it's still very dangerous. And so I'd be very surprised if you could convince an attorney to sue someone for that, but I could be wrong. I really hope they're okay, but at this point, it pretty much looks like they're donezo. They're out of air. And so I hope that they can kind of recover the submarine and that they'll be able to maybe do some research on what happened so we can get a better story. And maybe deter some people from making those same mistakes, as well as recover their bodies, of course. One thing I will say about this story as well, like, we ought to spend the same resources on other people that we did for these. Like, the story was really awesome for these guys. You had some billionaires, some high-profile people in there. I would just hope that we would spend the same amount of resources saving our soldiers, for instance, who are in foreign countries, that we would help slaves that are being trafficked across our own lands. It just seems like we've gone to great lengths telling this story and helping these people be saved. I would hope that we would do the same for people who aren't as well known and don't have as much money. Now, everyone knows the media is biased. It's not a secret at this point. The question is, what are we going to do about it? And that's why I partnered with Ground News. Now, Ground News, what it is essentially a website that compiles all the news of the big guys, but it talks about the biases behind them. It talks about if they're right-leaning, left-leaning, talks about how much, talks about the kind of people, the background of those specific authors, as well as the owner of the company and why they may have certain biases or leanings to cover certain stories. I love Ground News because it helps me be more informed and craft my own worldview. It allows me to get down to really what is the truth rather than having to kind of sift through the BS of the mainstream media on my own. That's why I use it for this channel. If you go to the link down in the description, you can get 15% off at Ground News. Some of their subscriptions go as low as $1, so definitely worth it. Go check it out so that you can sift through some of those biases. Now, getting into the second part of today's show, Hunter Biden, I have no words. Sorry. Like, this is a tough story, to be honest. It's very frustrating for me. I know it's frustrating for a lot of other conservatives. Hunter Biden was charged this week, but not in the way that we thought he would be charged. So Hunter Biden pleaded guilty on two charges, on a charge of tax evasion, as well as being unlawfully owning a firearm. And basically, this is a total slap on the wrist for what happened, because essentially with what he pleaded guilty for, there's very little chance that he will be charged with more. And if he is indeed charged with these things, it is going to be a slap on the wrist in terms of punishment. Right now, he's looking at probably about 6 months in jail, like worst case scenario for him. When in reality, so just to give you a little bit of an idea, the reason why he was convicted of tax evasion is because he evaded about $100,000 in taxes. He'll have to pay those. And then on the guns, what happened with the gun is he essentially purchased a gun when he was on drugs, which is illegal. And then he stashed it, I think, near an elementary school. And this, like, usually is, you can be guilty for about 10 years, up to 10 years in jail. That's the worst it gets. And look, I'm not saying Hunter Biden is even deserving of 10 years in jail, but here's what's frustrating. There's a couple things that are frustrating. You have Democrats calling for stricter gun laws, and then, and Joe Biden being like the chief Democrat who's talking about this, and then you have his own son doing this, and Democrats just laud, like the media, the left just laud how happy they are that Hunter Biden is only going to get a small sentence. Where in their literal plan, they're talking about how they need to tighten these laws, these background checks, which, you know, would have prevented Hunter Biden from getting a gun, by the way, and tightening these things, yet they're happy that Hunter Biden's only going to be in jail for 6 months. It's really hypocritical because it shows, like, literally they're pushing an agenda, but then they're very happy when the people that they don't want to have guns have a very short time in jail. Or most, I mean, many people theorize at this point that Hunter Biden will not get any jail time whatsoever. The media are painting this like a poor Joe Biden sort of thing. Like, oh, that's so hard for him. Like, his son, like, made a mistake. But hey, like, it was just a mistake. Like, let's let it go. Like, let him, like, I even heard someone say this on the news. They said, let him get on with his life. I was like, are you kidding me? Imagine if this happened with Eric Trump. Like, if we let literally the Trump family have the same treatment as the Biden family, this would be a completely different story. They'd be talking about the crazy corruption, which, by the way, the tax evasion stuff, most of it came from Hunter Biden's dealings in Ukraine. And so there is a much deeper story here where literally Hunter Biden, and he said this publicly, the only reason why he worked for that company in Ukraine was because of the Biden name. Now we've got Joe Biden giving billions and billions of dollars to the Ukrainian government, a lot of which we don't know where it's going. And to be quite frank, I know a lot of people haven't talked about this, but the Ukrainian army is a Nazi organization. I'm going to do a podcast about this a little bit later. So if you haven't heard about that, I'm going to expound about this in a different podcast. But it's really fascinating to hear where our money is going and how many times Hunter and Joe Biden were meeting in the White House as Hunter Biden was doing his business in Ukraine, which is really scary. Just to give you an idea, though, like, of the kind of guy Hunter Biden is. And like, I don't understand why the media, well, I understand why the media are rooting for him. I just don't understand how they think they could get away with it. Hunter Biden, and like, maybe this is a part to censor the kids from. If the kids are listening, maybe turn this off for a sec. This guy literally snorts cocaine from a hooker's butthole. That's like the most gross sentence that's ever come into my mouth. I like wish I hadn't said that. But that is the reality of what this guy does. And I'm not just like, that's not gossip. That's not like chisme. Like, that's literally the reality of what happens. That, and you know why we know that? It's because he literally left his laptop at a repair shop and we have pictures of it. Like, you can literally search Hunter Biden snorting cocaine off of a hooker and you will find it. So this guy is kind of gross. Like, he's not a good guy. It's not like he got caught up in something and we're like, oh, you know, I feel really bad for him. It's like, this guy's gross and he ought to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. The other thing that's really frustrating about this is that people keep talking. So in the DOJ documents, they talk about how thorough they wanted to be, how thorough they needed this investigation to be, because this, after all, this was the son of a vice president, of our current president, and they needed to make sure this was airtight. And my question is, where was this airtight verbiage for Trump's indictment? Like, they whipped that thing out quick, and they always do for Republicans, but for Biden, they're like, yeah, I mean, we started this a while ago, but let's wait until after the midterm election so that there's no scandal there. And we just want to make sure it's airtight. That, like, I have no problem with it being airtight, but can we just apply that equally across the board? And can we also acknowledge that the DOJ is Biden's DOJ? The other thing is, like, you know, like, I don't understand why the media aren't saying this. You know that Hunter Biden is guilty because he pleaded guilty. So of the things that he pleaded guilty of, we know for a fact he's guilty of. But if people plead guilty, it essentially means that they have more that they did. They just simply want to plead guilty to get, that was like the best that they can do. Like, that was literally the best Hunter Biden could possibly get because he knew he did more. Hunter Biden's lawyer literally came out and said they would not convict him of more. That's what he was literally asked. They said, do you think that Hunter Biden is in danger of being convicted of more things? And he said, no, like, I know it's not going to happen, which just illustrates even more how you know that Hunter Biden's lawyer and Hunter Biden are working with Joe Biden's DOJ to make sure that he gets a slap on the wrist and this goes away by 2024. Meanwhile, they're hoping that Trump's indictments, they'll probably bring up more, will continue into 2024. And at this point, I don't know if that's to weaken Trump or strengthen Trump. I personally think it's to strengthen Trump because I think they know that Trump is way easier to beat. All the polling says it. Yeah, again, we're going to get into that more in a different podcast because that is a story worth telling. But the hypocrisy is just crazy with the story. The View, again, if you don't know The View, don't watch. Like, I almost always encourage people to go watch other shows. The View will make you lose brain cells. If you want your brain to stay intact, do not watch The View. It literally does not make coherent sense. But anywho, I watched it for you, so you wouldn't have to watch it. The View were talking about Hunter Biden, and they basically said, this is a good thing that this has happened, that it's like a really small indictment, or a really small charge, rather. And it's really good because it shows us that Joe Biden is not using the DOJ for evil. Because if he was, then Hunter Biden wouldn't be prosecuted. And this makes no sense. And let me give you the two reasons why it doesn't make sense. First off, this is a much better strategy for Joe Biden if he is using the DOJ to just give a light slap on the wrist to Hunter Biden. But here's the second one that really bothers me. By that same logic, we all need to remember that Trump's DOJ attacked him the whole time. So if that's true, then you know, by their logic, that Trump was a totally uncorrupt politician. And that he was just, you know, being accused by the DOJ, that he was doing great, in other words, which I know they would never say. So, like, I wonder if they hear these things in their head and if they just, like, don't realize how hypocritical they're being. Again, the biggest thing that I come back to with this, like I don't blame, I do, it's hard. I don't blame the government in the sense of like I don't expect anything different. Like I know the Bidens are corrupt. We all know this. Like, and I'm not saying that it's just them. Politicians are corrupt. They want power. They do what they got to do to get it, okay? We shouldn't expect anything less. And our founding fathers didn't expect anything less. They knew this would happen, and that's why they set up a government, a republic with competing interests. And what frustrates me about this story so much is that the media were supposed to be a competing interest. They were supposed to be the watchdog that kept the Bidens in this situation from doing these things, that talk honestly about Hunter Biden's business dealings, that talk about the potential biases in the DOJ, at least talk about what could be. Like, that is important. They're literally talking about like how Joe Biden feels about it. And they're talking about how hard, like it's not like they're just stating the facts. If they just stated the facts, I'd be fine with that. But they're actively choosing a side in this. And that can be really frustrating because this is not their job. Their job is to be the watchdogs. They're supposed to be opposed to the government when whoever is in charge. I don't care if it's Republicans or Democrats. In fact, I would love it if they were on top of the Republicans all the time. That creates a great, and like this is why competing interests is so awesome. You have these incentives to do different things and they keep each other in check. Unfortunately, with the media acting the way they are and with them being in the pocket of Democrats at this point, that competing interest is failing. And that is again why people are turning to more alternative sources of media and of news. And I think it's really gonna bite their butt in the end. I hope that we can realign those competing interests in order. I really believe that it is essential to maintain our republic. It's just impossible to use democratic norms when we don't have all the information and when it is stacked towards one side. And so I'm really discouraged by the way the media has treated this. And I hope that Hunter Biden gets everything that he deserves. And I hope that all politicians and family of politicians get what they deserve, regardless of what side they're on. With that, everyone, thank you so much for watching this episode of the Josh Carr Show. Remember, go to that link down below. You want 15% off of Ground News. Trust me. Don't give a subscription to the New York Times. Don't give some subscription to the Washington Post when you could be spending just $1 every month at Ground News. With my link only, you'll get 15% off. Remember, if you're on YouTube, to subscribe down below, comment, like. Make sure as well, if you're listening on any podcast streaming service such as Apple Music or Spotify, go over to YouTube. I am posting a new episode of Who Is This Week. This week it is Matt Walsh, and I had a lot of fun filming it. Go over there and check it out. They are great, and I just have a good time filming them. Anyway, thanks guys for watching. See you next time.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.